Hi, this is Andrew Corbett, and I want to introduce to you the Bible study series, How Then Shall We Now Live? Studies in Romans chapters 13 to 16. This is How Then Shall We Now Live? Study number 4, Put on the Armour of Light. It's based on Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. And again, as usual, when you are hosting a home group or leading a home group, it's important to have a time of fellowship where some refreshments are served, whether it's hot or cold drinks or some finger food, something like that. And it just creates that atmosphere whereby people can just catch up and relax and disarm. And then you move into a different location. And it should be a lounge room, no hard bench seats or anything like that, just somewhere where people can relax and see each other and share openly. Now, this study, based on Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, follows on from the previous study, Building a Covenant Community. And this, we might see, affects not just how we relate to each other, but how we relate to the world outside of the church. So, in other words, while Building a Covenant Community relates to what we do on a Sunday, this relates to what we do on a Monday. So it's called Put on the Armour of Light. Recently, a veteran homicide detective told how he and his wife had been married for 36 years. It was only after 18 years of marriage that they both became Christians. He stated that if you were to ask him which has been easy for you, the first 18 years or the second 18 years, they would say without hesitation, the first. The reason he gave for this was that when they were both non-Christians, many of their choices in life were easy. But when they became Christians, they had to live differently, which meant making difficult choices and even denying themselves certain pleasures they once enjoyed without a qualm. The section of Paul's epistle to the Romans we are now considering may help us to understand this Christian detective's answer and perhaps even why we may have found the Christian life to be a difficult life. Subtitled, Wake Up. When Paul wrote to the Romans, the empire was enjoying a time of peace, but in just a few short years, all that would change when Caesar Nero would begin his murderous rampaging against Christians and the city of Jerusalem. Question 1. Considering Romans chapter 13, verse 11, which says, Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. When Paul had earlier told the Corinthians to wake up, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, which says, Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. In what way did he have in mind for them, the Romans, to wake up? Well, it sounds like he's telling them stop being apathetic and stop being lukewarm spiritually. It's no time for playing games, no time for messing around, and it's certainly no time to be half-hearted about your Christian walk as far as what sin you allow in your life. In Hebrews 8:13, the writer to the Hebrews tells his readers that although the new covenant had made the old covenant obsolete, keyword obsolete, it had not been done away with. The elements of the old covenant, which included the temple, the priesthood, and the sacrifices, were indeed done away with in AD 70 when the Romans sacked Jerusalem, destroying the city and the temple. This then fulfilled the prophecy of Hebrews 8:13, that the old covenant was about to be done away with. But the time leading up to this was a terrifying time for followers of Christ, indeed for many. Their salvation was nearer than when they first believed, just as Paul said. So, question 2, considering Romans 13, verse 12, the night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armour of light. What did Paul write to the Colossians about what they had to put away? Well, in Colossians 3:8 it says, But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. So it sounds like that what Paul is saying, connecting those two verses, is that to put off the works of darkness is to put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from their mouth. Question 3. Romans chapter 13, verse 12, which we just read, also refers to the armor of light in contradistinction, that is, opposed to the works of darkness. What might this armor of light be then? Well, if you look at those aspects mentioned by Paul's works of darkness, let's go the opposite. It would include righteous conduct in the face of an unrighteous culture. So doing the right thing, even though culture was not supporting you in doing that. Question 4, what distinction did Christ make about whether people were attracted to darkness or light in John chapter 3 and verse 20? For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. So what do we see from that verse? That people who love doing evil are reluctant to come to the light. And in my experience, and as you throw this open to the group for discussion, in my experience, people will justify that they're not so bad, and they will justify that what they do, their particular sin, is actually okay by God. It's a bizarre way of reasoning, but it's something I've heard many, many times. Note the list of evil deeds which Paul gives in Romans 13, verse 13, which says, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. What surprises you about this list? So in that list, as you look at those items in that list, what is it that kind of, well, where'd that come from? What is it? Well, when you consider there's orgies, drunkenness, sexual immorality, sensuality, and then quarreling and jealousy. Those two things seem to be a little bit out of place. I wonder why that is. Have a discussion about that. But it highlights the fact that it's not just the obvious things, it's the internal things. So having that sense of enmity or quarreling, people may not even see that that's how you're responding, especially the last one, jealousies. Question 6. Does the consumption of pornography fit into Paul's list given in Romans 13, 13? Discuss. Well, absolutely it does. It would have to, because it is a form of sexual immorality. And it's actually, usually it's women who are the subject of pornography. It's degrading to them. It's a form, as someone has said, it's a form of slavery. It's buying a person's flesh and really their dignity, which is what slavery does as well. Question 7. Read Romans 13, 14 and identify both the positive and the negative actions required for the follower of Christ from this verse. Well, what are the positives? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the negative? Make no provision for the flesh. I once heard a skeptic who was becoming convinced of the truthfulness of the claims of the Bible that he just wished this God wasn't so interested in what he did in his bedroom. He was yet to see that the God of the Bible was not the bedroom police, as much as he is our all-loving, utterly beneficent protector. Well, I hope this study has provoked some healthy discussion.